Welcome back from the Desk of Low. Now, if you've been tuning into this platform, man, we've been early on like a lot on your favorites. Now, this gentleman right here, when I started doing my research on this gentleman right here, he has a very interesting story, man. He's not new to the game at all, man. He's been at it for years and years. But I wanted to get to know him on a more personal level because every artist is different from outside their music now, too. Man, he's, and I'm not gonna sit here in front for y'all. I haven't been early on some. I only seen him when Rock Mercy posted him, but when I did my research and actually dove into his discography, I was like, yo, this son is really talented, man. Where was he all these years? But without further introductions, man, I got the one and only Great God.
Peace, King. What's going on with your family?
Man, how you doing, sir?
I'm doing excellent. I'm doing great. I'm doing great. You know what I'm saying? I'm the newest member of the Pimpire faction. Shout out to Rock Marcy, Knowledge, my brother, my God brothers. I just signed with Rock. So, we get ready to take this Pimpire situation to a whole new level.
Oh man, I'm glad you're part of this movement, man, because yo, you fit that aura so perfect, my G. But before we get into, how you hooked up with Rock, I was curious. You have ties to the Midwest and NYC, but I was curious, like, how did you end up on the East Coast, being that you're from Milwaukee?
So I had ties to New York because my father lived in Rochester, New York.
Okay.
So my pops, he lived in Rochester, New York. So yeah, I used to go back and forth to New York to visit my pops, you know what I'm saying? And then from there, when I was old enough, I moved, after high school, I moved to Rochester, and then I moved to Brownsville. And then, Syracuse and everywhere in between Cleveland, and we I done been everywhere.
Wow, Brownsville, eh? Wow. So that must have been like a huge like culture change coming from Milwaukee to New York, but I'm pretty sure like you had like feels of it when you're gonna go see your dad and stuff like that, till actually moving out there.
I actually was coming back and forth from Des Moines, Iowa, to go visit my pops. You know what I'm saying? I was born in Milwaukee. And then my mother, her side of the family is like from Chicago and Waterloo, Iowa, Des Moines, Iowa. You know what I'm saying? So I end up that's where I did, spent a lot of my childhood at. And then I would go back. I would go and see my pops. You know what I'm saying? And then ended up going to New York with my aunt and them, and to the city to Brooklyn. And that's I'm in Brooklyn right now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I seem to understand that you're at the seafood spot. I've seen. Now, this is not new for this artist to come up on the show, and I noticed like a lot of upstate artists, like they look at this hip hop artist I'm about to see as like one of their inspirations. Now, I was curious, are you a big fan of Half a Mil?
Of course. But I know him personally though, so it was different for me. You
Oh,
know,
okay.
I knew him personally, so for me, it was a difference because we knew that he was on fire back, you know what I'm saying? Like, so, but yeah, he, yeah, he, the God was just different, man. The way he was putting together his rhymes and the way he was structuring his words and even his whole vernacular, his whole vocabulary, everything. But he was a God too. Like, he was a founder of 5% Nation. So he had the lessons, he had the knowledge. So when you got the true knowledge of self, it gives you an advantage when you speak just who you are, your everyday being. We magnetic, so it makes our existence, how our whole existence as 5%ers, it just gives us a different glow. You know what I'm saying? And Sun had the glow. He just was very good at articulating and being able to put the right amount of knowledge of self in the rhymes, mixed with the foolery, mixed with the regular street shit.
Like that. That's that.
Like I was with Lord Jamal last night. I was at Lord Jamal crib last night, right? And he was like, "Yo, God, you got all the boxes checked off. Like you got the delivery, you got the pen, you got the look. People believe you." He like, "Yo, you the artist that come around every 25 years. You're that artist."
That's facts.
So he was comparing me to all the other artists that's out right now, right? And he was like, "Yeah, well, that one is missing this. Yeah, he dope. He I like his. He come with strong bars every time, but he missing this. Or I like that one, but he don't got the look. That one right there, he good, but he corny, you know what I mean? He dressed corny, you know, he like, yo, you got anything, God. So that's what Half a Mill had, though. Just to bring the conversation full circle. See, Half had, he from Albany Project. So he had street cred, he had everything, you understand? And he had that knowledge himself. So when he got in the room with AZ, and when he get in the room with Nas, you're not gonna outshine Half a Mill because the God was just too swift. So when he get to talk about Kaiser Sosa intention, glide in the Hummer with the flying saucer engine, in the winter having cookout, smack my whiz, look out. So when he said smack my whiz, that's the wisdom, which is the secondary, which is the most necessary, but that's the woman. But if you don't got knowledge yourself, a lot of that shit'll fly over your head. So yeah, that's what made the God swift.
Now, it must have been like really inspiration for you, knowing like his history and like you have a personal relationship with him. But I was curious, like before you actually took like rap seriously, like what made you like actually want to take music seriously?
What made me want to take it serious is just people around the way saying like, oh, now you really like, now you dope. And then it was like, you know, I would play with it, and it would be like, you know, certain times I bust around my, like if I was around my cousin, Luke Ibrazi, shout out Gumbo, Luke Ibrazi. If I was around him and Cam might be around, Cam might come on the block, he'd be like, yo, spit that shit. You know what I'm saying? And then I see Killer response, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Because I respected him, you understand? So when I started getting the respect, spitting my rhymes, and I started getting respect from the people that I respected, then it made me want to take it serious.
Now, like, also, too, like, when I did my research on you now, too, is it true that, like, your very first, like, you know, national appearance on a mixtape was on a DJ Green Lantern track titled Four Walls?
That was my first one. Just don't say the name.
I'm sick of doing what I'm doing, man. Every day I wake up asking myself exactly, what am I pursuing, fam? My money is long. No longer do I need to hustle, but still I end up copping bricks to juggle. Going hard, no homo, hoping I don't slip and fumble before I reach the end zone, which is a mill in my mind. Of course, fam, I got a deal on my mind, but until I know I'm a pop for sure.
I'll say.
Yeah. That's an actual fact. You've been digging. Yeah, you got your shovel out. I like that.
Oh, yeah, good. I want to find a new artist. I want to find everything about their past that led them up to here. So that's why I wanted to ask, because like we said, I won't say the name. But yeah, that's very like interesting now too, because Grant was on fire back then.
Yeah, he was the guy back then, man. He was Jay. I think he was Hulk. No, that was before he was JDJ. Yeah, he was on fire regardless of whom or what. Green was on fire, and Green made it a point to tell everybody, like, yo, nah, he's crazy, and he's living what he's talking about. That's the difference. So Green Lantern actually saw me. I had a record called It's Nothing, right? So he actually saw me come and dump iceberg sweaters on the stage, dump a garbage bag full of Coogi sweaters, and walk over them while I was rapping.
That was actually one of my next questions. I was going to bring that up. I was like, so can you tell me tonight about you dumped 3 garbage bags of Iceberg Avery and you walked all over them? But like, see, like, now, is this like, can we see this like on YouTube or somewhere?
No, I can send you the footage of it, though. It's never been seen. I got it, though.
I would love to see this interview.
I'll send it to you. So, yeah, I'll send you that footage, yo. Yeah, man, I was bad. So for me, it was always, y'all talking about all of this shit, but y'all really don't have no knowledge of it. Y'all just rapping. And that's what turned me off about rap, period, is that once I started getting around the rappers and I'm realizing that y'all renting jewelry and y'all renting cars and I'm coming to clubs and I'm seeing the rappers in line and I'm going past the rapper getting walked down the middle of 27th and 11th where the tunnel was at, and I'm watching all of the rappers that I seen on TV on the line, I'm like, oh, no, this shit, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be no rapper because I felt like I was in a better position than them. So, yeah, man, it was, yeah. So my whole point of doing shit like that was just to show, nah, it's truly nothing. I'm really who I say I am. Like, cats wasn't even wearing Iceberg then. Like, Icebergs was $1,000 a sweater at that time. It was a place in Harlem called Schemes on 125th Street. It was my man Lewis in there. Somebody go find Lewis. He'll tell you, we was coming in there, me, my man G, my man Dre, We was coming in there. We was buying a dozen sweaters at one time, eight sweaters at one time. This was before people was even wearing Iceberg. Like, they didn't even know about it. So that would be my thing, man. Like, when I spit this stuff that I be talking about, I really got throwback pictures where you can see what I'm talking about. These other dudes that be talking about this money and all this shit they be talking about, ask them to show and prove. That's all.
Now,
That's what sets Great God apart. That's what make me different than all of these other dudes is that my story is I'm just recollecting, man. When I give you these records, I'm truly just recollecting. So that's why I make them so fast too, because it ain't like I got to draw.
From make it up.
I don't got to draw. I'm not trying to draw inspiration from the thin air. I just got to remember the night I went to the tunnel in the chinchilla and it was raining outside and me and Luke Abrazzi walked down the middle of 27th Street where Jay and Beanie shot, put your hands up. You know what I mean? Oh, for AM
yes, the club.
We walked down that brick road and it was raining. It felt like a movie. We had chinchillas on to the ankle going in the tunnel. Popping Cristal. I never even drank in my life. I was buying the bottles just to pour it out on the ground. I wasn't even pouring it in a female's cup. We was just trying to look cool, but I didn't drink, so I was pouring it on the ground. These are stories that they can't take away from Great God. This stuff is documented. I always kept a camera around, so all of this stuff is on video. So, you know, when they ask me what sets me apart from them, I say everything. These dudes is lying. These dudes is embellishing. I'm telling you, that's why in my raps too, you get the pros and the cons because, this is a seesaw. It's right. Up and down. This is the Wall Street.
Well, also now too, like I noticed, like you once said too, like you want your own worst critic, and you have hard drives full of music now too. How hard is it to like not put something out knowing that you like it, but you're not ready, like the world's not ready for it? Like how is that for you? Like knowing that you have hard drives full of music. You probably have albums just ready to go, but you ain't put them out yet.
Right. I'm gonna give you one story, right? Green Lantern, I had a record called Dear Lord, right? This was pre-Jesus Walks. I wanted to put the record out. Green Lantern told me, nah, don't take them to church. Don't do that. It's not that time for hip hop. A year and a half later, Kanye puts out Jesus Walking. That was his biggest record. Literally. He told me, nah, Taj, don't take him to church. Nah, your stuff is too hard. Stick with the hustle rap, da 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 da. And a year later, Kanye put out a record called Jesus Walks. And I believe that was one of his biggest records. So, to answer your question thoroughly, it's like, you know, having the records is a gift and a curse because I am a big critic. And the biggest criticism for myself is that I have knowledge itself. So I have to be very careful what I give the world because I know better than to give them the poison all the time. But then the point, you know, I did, even while I had knowledge itself, I was still striving for perfection, but I was never perfect. So that's also a part of my story too, you know? So that in itself is just always very hard for me. That made me stop doing music for years because I said, damn, I'm not even supposed to really be doing music. And then if I do music, I definitely ain't supposed to be giving them the music that I want to give them because it's like a direct contradiction of what I know and understand as a man. And then I know that I got to teach the baby. So they have a chance in life. So it's like, damn, man. Like, but then I also know and understand I got to get to the podium. So once I get to the podium now, and then I keep doing it, giving you the hustle stories, then I'm dead wrong. So until I could get the voice where I could say, like how you Hov used to say, 4.0s is for women and Range Rover couldn't sell another one. When I got a voice like that, then I'm going to give them the real, you know, when I know it can't be refuted, and everybody listening, no matter what I say, then I'm gonna really give them the real power. I'm gonna really give them the knowledge then. So right now, in the meantime, I just gotta make sure I sprinkle it in.
Now, like, it's a rare for an artist of your stature to like be aware of like what he's capable of now too, and knowing that, hey, I could just flood the market hit after hit after, album after album, but you choose to actually, you know, use the knowledge itself. So when actually making the music now too, like this is one of the things that stood out for me because I don't think anybody has ever did this before. You had this song titled you place yourself, I forget the title, but you place yourself in the shoes of a fiend, and he's talking
Thanks for nothing. Thanks
yeah.
for nothing.
So like when we see like of an artist of that stature now too, it also shows the story capabilities of that, knowing that you can place yourself in other people's shoes and tell it from their perspective. But I'm not gonna front for somebody who never got high or drank before. Yo, you pull that off, my guy. I ain't gonna front.
Nah, I appreciate that. And that'd be my main objective, bro. Like, so we've heard every hustle story that we could possibly hear, right? We heard about the bricks. We heard about everything that we could possibly hear from a hustler. We've heard. So I said, you know what? The only story in life that I have never heard, and I'm glad you mentioned that because I feel like people, you know, people say, nah, nothing is new under the sun. Everything's been done. We can't reinvent the wheel. I am the first person that ever did that.
Yeah, that's facts.
I put myself in the shoes of the junkie because guess what? Without him, it ain't us. It's no hustler if it's no user. And it's like, nah, man, humble yourself. Because guess what? I done seen a lot of millionaires end up to be users and then end up they get money again and go back to using. Anybody can fall from grace. Be careful how you treat people. Be careful the things that you speak because you can speak and will things into existence. And I've just been, I mean, I lived my life in the gate. I lived in traps. I like, we didn't even call, it was no such thing as a trap. It was called a gate where it was nothing in there but a 62, a four and a half, a 60, either a 62 or four and a half. I had a pot of hot grease and I had a TV with a game for somebody to play it. And the hot grease, it was in case the D's came in. You could throw the stash in there and they got it. They ain't reaching in their hand in there to get that. Just so you can hurry up and once you hear that door, because when you wake up in the morning and you go to turn that water on, or you go to use the bathroom and it ain't flushing, the D's is coming in 5 minutes. They turn the water off so that you can't flush nothing. So I lived that for years, God. That's why my shit is different. You see that face you just made? It's the intricate details, the small, minute details like that. That people say, oh, now nah, he did that. But I really, you feel me? Like I lived in that. So I had to give the perspective of the fiend because I was never the one that was going to beat him up and do all of the bullshit. I was the one that was going to say, yo, you know what? Tell me what happened, man. Like, what the fuck? What made you do this? And I'm trying to get now, I'm trying to understand. Like, and it always was the same thing, a female, a and she kept doing it. She next time she put it in her ass crack. I sniffed it out of there. Next thing I know, I can't get no higher. Next thing you know, I'm so high, I'm snapping five with Jesus. And then when, hey God, yo, then when I can't get then now I just smack five with Jesus. I done high five Jesus. I want to get higher than that. So then the next progression after that is a crack rock. And once you smoke that first crack rock, you go past Jesus, you go to some other place, and then you can never get to that place again, ever again in life. But they chasing that. They chasing that. They're trying to get to Mars, but they can only get to Uranus. But they're trying. They're trying to get back. And I just dug into the stories of these people because a lot of these people was people that I revered, people that I adored at some point in life, people that I never looked down on, even though they was smoking. I still wanted to learn from them. And I knew they still had something for me to take away from their situation in order for me to be the man that I am. So it ain't no way in the world was that make it possible.
See, and like also like I like that too now too, because you could easily just say, you know what, I'm not gonna rap about what I know and just try to hide and be like all these other fake rappers now too, but that's what sets you apart now too. And it also shows now too that you don't screw around with this now too, because what I also noticed about your persona is now too the mask. I have yo, this is how I knew like you were really like yo, every time I see you got a new mask on and they know the same mask over and over. But also it also seems like that you have like a big upcoming reveal, because I understand like you have this documentary that's like 5-6 years in the making. And when you decide to write, you're gonna show who you really are. Like, what made you actually think like that for like a big reveal like that? Because like for anybody else, when I see the mask, I was like, I wonder if he was inspired by MF Doom. But actually going through your music and knowing how you are, it gives me more sense.
Yeah. Shout out to Doom, man. Me and Lord Jamal, we just had a long conversation about Doom last night. Shout out to the God MF Doom, you know what I'm saying? You know, shout out to MF Doom. May he rest, you know. The reveal was just like, they have to hear the real. When I take this mask off, and they say, oh, we should have. Okay, it all makes sense. But until then, just listen. Just pay attention to what I'm saying. That's all. Just pay attention. It's not that I'm hiding. It's not that I look like these other guys. It's not that I'm not handsome under this motherfucking man. You understand what I'm saying? I pull Halle Berry in a white tee. You understand? So it don't have nothing to do with none of that. It's just I like my anonymity. I like to be able to take this off and still be able to go walk around and do what I want to do.
I have a private life.
Yeah. I can still maintain my private life. When my girl posts me, she ain't got to put the blur up because I'm gonna have a mask on. You know how the girl be like, oh, I don't want you to see who my girl is, who my man is. Yeah, you don't even got to do that, man. Yeah, but the reveal is going to be something epic. It's going to be millions. It's going to be thousands and thousands of people in that crowd when I reveal.
Yeah, because like I like how you said that too. Like you have like all this footage in the documentary to back up everything you're saying now too, and like. You know, it's actually rare to actually have the, because a lot of people say, yeah, I had this, but for you to actually have the footage, that's something else.
That's different. That's diferente.
Now, are you wary about putting it out because you don't want people to get the wrong image of you? Or like, you actually know, like you're very calculated, because like, I'm pretty sure you're going to edit some stuff.
I mean, it's calculated, of course. My thing is, being so initially it's like don't prejudge the situation, because now that I got your heart, so I got a model, you know, get to the point where you can sell them. Once you get to the point where you can sell them anything, sell them everything. That's my model. So once you get the people to love you first and revere you and adore you, once you bring them into your world, now they real supporters and they loyal supporters, not even fans. It's the difference between a fan and a supporter.
Yeah.
So once they love you, and once you can, you know, then you got them. I needed them to love me first without saying, he's still at it, or he's still doing it, or whatever. You understand? So it's like, oh nah. Because I it's certain artists that I look at and I'm like, yo, if he don't fucking quit already, if he don't hang his fucking jersey in the rafter already, cut it out, my boy. But my situation is different, man. That's another reason why I'm glad I didn't flood the market all of the years too, because then they will really be tired. But now, who is Great God? Who is Great God?
That's what I said.
Who is Great God? Where in the fuck did he come from? Why does everyone respect him? Why does everyone have all of these beautiful things to say about him? Who is he? Where did he come from?
And like also now too, upstate now too, like I like how an artist like how Rock Mercy, he embraces like he's really like him and Alchemist are almost the same person, because they're literally at the top and they don't have to embrace new artists, but yet they come down and share like their aura with us. Like, I think he had a Rolling Stone interview and he's like mentioned Great God. I was like, wait, this guy's in Rolling Stone and he's mentioning like another artist that we don't know. Let me check out Great God.
Yo, God. See, you summed it up. That's what I say all the time. Like, he has the throne. My brother got the throne, bro. Like, he has the throne. At no given time or no point in time is Rock Marcy obligated to come off of his throne and throw Great God an alley-oop. And it just doesn't happen. It don't happen. He don't owe me anything. So for him to come off of the throne to throw me an alley-oop, come on, man. People don't do that, man. They're not doing that. They're not coming off the throne to throw no alley-oops, trust me. Not at his stature, not what he had in the game. So that's definitely a blessing. Definitely a blessing.
I could see like where like he could actually see like what he sees in you too now too, because when I was listening, because I like to, when I find an artist, I want to find the first project they put out on stream. And even if it's not a, if it's not the first one, I'll go to that one because it's available. So when I'm hearing, it was with Joey Majors, I believe. I don't want to get the name. Wolf Season.
Right, right.
Now, when I'm listening to Wolf Season now too, I can't help but think, this dude has Mobb Deep on a track, and they've been like Mobb Deep like together in forever, because RIP Prodigy now too. But when doing this project now too, I understood that the Prodigy verse was from a Joey Majors song that he did right now. But when I did more research, I found out that you had a personal rapport with Prodigy.
Yeah, I had a personal rapport with Prodigy. Rest in peace to the God P. Me and P had a personal rapport, man. Prodigy was one of those guys too. Prodigy was like half a mil, man. See, when you you meet men that know that they that know and understand who they truly are, and they have the confidence, you don't gotta act extra tough like me. I laugh, you see me smiling, you might not see the smile, but you see me laughing and having fun all the time. Because I don't have to portray the tough guy. I did all that. You know what I'm saying? And if need be, if pushed to the limit, I had to be pushed to the limit. But you know, it's there. It's that certain things don't go away. But Prodigy is one of them dudes that was like, kind of like Rock. He heard me. What? That is crazy, God. You know what I'm saying? And it was like, nah, he was. From the beginning, him, Tragedy Gaddafi was another one. Ooh. Tech from Smith & Wesson was another one.
Tech, salute to Tech, that's my guy.
Yeah, Smokey, that's my brother. That's my, but these are people that have been embracing my talent and never had hate and always was like, oh, nah, yeah, great God. Like, yeah, nah, what? Yeah, you got it. You want me to do a feature? I got you. Like, you know, like me and Tech got a mean record. It's coming out. I'm going to put it out in the summer. It's Annie Up 2023. I promise you.
Oh, shit. Okay.
Nah, it's Annie Up 2023. I feel bad for what it's going to do. I feel bad. It's going to be a lot of chains getting popped. It's going to be watches on the ground in the club. It's going to be DNA on the wall. I'm telling you, it's crazy. I'm telling you, God, it's different. Shout out to Tech, man. It's different. That is going to be, man, it's crazy. Trust me.
Now, talking about Wolf Season and why you wanted to incorporate Joey Majors on your first album for streaming platforms, because you didn't have to include Joey's, but you were saying how you knew him out of everybody the longest.
Yeah, I know, and he's the one that included me. Like that was me. Yeah, that was. So once we got back together, we started doing the music and shit. But then we were just like, you know what? Let's do another one. It was 2 days, and we had like 14, probably 12, 13 joints done. So we like, yo, come on, we're gonna put a project out. But he was really the one that, you know, if he wouldn't have called me and asked me to get Benny on the record for him, I wouldn't have been on that record. But then he was gracious enough to be like, well, come on, spit a verse on the record too. He could have just, because I would have just threw the alley-oop, because that's just who I am. I would have just called Benny and you know, threw the alley-oop so Benny could get some bread in his pocket and Joey could be satisfied and he had a feature. So, like, he didn't even have to invite me on the record, but he did. Same way with the Jadakiss record. He invited me on them records. Man, those was his records.
And you also said, too, the Prodigy one that became the Mobb Deep was also his record, too.
That's all VIP lifestyle music. That's all come from Joey Majors. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, because I got a friend. When I checked out that, it made me go check out Joey Majors, too. I'm like, Oh, I wasn't expecting to find this guy too. So, yo, shout out to Joey Majors if you're watching, my guy.
Yeah. Shout out Joey Majors, JM.
But what I like about you now too is now too, you're the type of artist who has a hot come up right now, and you're not the type to like, you do a feature and not post it. That, but every feature I see you post, and it's like, it's very rare to have an artist of that stature because I'm pretty sure. When you were, trying to get features, you probably got a feature and none of them even posted. So is that why that you chose to like break the cycle and say, hey, you do a song with me, I'm gonna make sure I promote the hell out of that.
It's a little bit of both. It really is just naturally who I am, right?
Okay.
I'm confident in who I am. If we in the dark and you put your lighter up and I put my lighter up, right? And I blow your light out, it ain't gonna make mine shine no brighter. So I deal with equality. I just do what people I do for people what I wish they would do for me or which I wish they would have done for me. Even some of the people that I've done records with, like hell no. Like I did a record, I done records with a couple people and they never even posted it. I got people features and they never even said thank you for getting them the few $1,000 that they got. Never gave me a dime for even getting them the feature. Put all of the pocket in their money in their pocket. Never once said, oh, well, I know that person brought me that person because of you, God. Without me, you wouldn't even know that person that you got the money for that feature. They don't even say thank you for that. But that don't make me bitter. You know why? Because I'm great God. I'm gonna be good regardless to whom or what. But as far as me breaking the cycle, that's just really naturally who I am. Like I don't fear nobody taking my shine. I know who I am as a person. I know that me. Like I said, me dimming their light ain't gonna make mine shine no brighter. So why not throw the alley-oop? Ain't nothing wrong with it. Because when you throw a person an alley-oop, 9 times out of 10, they never forget that. So if you do a feature with Great God, you do a feature with Great God, you're not even going to have to ask me to put it on my story. Because naturally, I'm going to put it on my story and I'm not going to put it on there one time. I'll put it on there 3 or 4 times. A couple months later down the line, you might see it on there again because guess what, God? It costs me nothing to do that. It don't cost me shit to put you on my story. And I got 1,000 people. When I put a story up, I got 900 eyes on my story at all times. A&Rs, all different people from all walks of life. Those people will never forget that, God. That's just like when people send me messages, I send them a voice memo back. Now they got something that they can keep forever. That voice memo is going to be worth something. Imagine you reaching out to Jay-Z and he's saying, yo, man, I appreciate you, man. Yeah, I'm glad you liked the record. What did you think about it? So that's just who I am naturally, man. It ain't even really about breaking the cycle because I always dealt with equality, but that's what I learned from Islam. That's what I learned from the 5% Nation. That's just instilled in my that's in my makeup. When I'm on the radio, I could talk about Benny when he wasn't known. I could tell the world he's the greatest. You understand? Because I felt that he was the greatest, and I felt like that ain't gonna stop. That ain't gonna make nobody K-Slay kick me off the show. That's only you understand? Like I just don't have no fear of helping another man out. But it's people that want that cheered me on, man. All of the people that cheered me on that didn't think that I was gonna come and kick their ass the way I'm kicking their ass. They thought they was gonna leave me on the track. So they was almost at the finish line. I'm on this side. They thought I wasn't gonna catch up, but now I got the ribbon around my waist and my hands in the air. You understand? So now they don't want to put me in their story. They don't like pictures no more. They don't comment no more. You understand? But guess what? If I see something dope on their page, even though they treat me that way, I'm still gonna be like, yo, God, you killed that. I'm still gonna put a comment. I'm still gonna put a like on their picture because that's who God, that's who I am, man. I've been had it and still got it.
For you, it also shows the type of person that you are now too, and it also explains all the blessings that you get because you're not no phony person. Like you actually, that's why you get all the wins that you get because you know why? You treat people the way you do, and that's like I said, that's very rare. And yo, I want to have much success for you right now because getting to know you because it's one person. it's one thing when you get to know a person over their music, but when you get to like actually have the interviews, that's why I started this platform 5 years ago, to actually get to know artists, because there's a million people out there that's going to listen to you like, I wonder what Greyguard has to say. And not only that, it puts other people onto your music. Because I was always the type of person before this, yo, check this person out, check this person out. But when they can actually see, have a conversation, it hits different.
Right. Now, yeah. And that's why I told you when you reached out, like, of course, bro. I think you might have said, I know you're busy, but nah, I'm going to make time, bro, because I appreciate you appreciating me. So one hand wash the face, you know, one, you know, we help each other out, man. You know,
yeah,
you help me, I'm going to help you. It's just, and then I help people that don't help me. So, you know, I just don't have no fear, man. The people that have fear, the people that don't put you in their story, like, how you pay somebody to do a record and then you don't put it in your story? Like, for me, I'm going across your shit. I'm going across your edge. That's why I don't do records with people no more either, because I expect a certain level of respect. So when that respect ain't met, it makes me feel away. So then, in order for me not to feel away, I don't want to do no records with y'all. And I'm not paying you to out-rap you on your on your shit, because I'm going to out-rap you. I'm going to out-rap you on your shit. I'm going to look better in the video. I'm going to have more jewelry on. I'm going to have everything. And I'm going to come humbly. I probably got a trunk full of shit that you could put on in your own video. You understand what I'm saying? And I'm going to come with the cameras that they shoot power with, but to do my behind the scenes. So it don't even like God, like, yeah, man. But I avoid doing features because I don't want to feel no way about y'all, man. Just leave me alone, man. Let me rock and knowledge have this moment. If it ain't Rock Marcy, if it ain't Knowledge the Pirate, it might be a couple other people. Other than that, man, if you're not dealing with equality and you're not dealing with what I'm dealing with, man, stay on that side, man, because, you know, we're going to alley-oop each other. That's all it is to it. And that's why I love Rock so much, because I didn't ask him to put me in his story when he was doing that. I didn't hit him and I didn't say, yo, God, how much to put me in your story? Because, you know, it's people that I'm friends with that I DM'd and I said, yo, God, how much are you for you to put me in my story? It's people that I'm friends with that I told, yo, you know I got an album, and they're like, nah, I ain't know. How you don't know?
So you follow me, y'all.
Say no more. But I don't even feel no way about that, because I know the nature of the game. And they know I'm kicking their ass, man. They know the truth. The truth coming out. The truth going, you know, what don't come out in the wash going to come out in the rinse. I'm the rinse. They washed.
That's a whole gem right there for y'all.
That's right.
Now, see, like, I also notice this now, too, because I like to credit myself on being early on artist now, too. But we're almost the alike now, too, because when I found this out, I was like, wow. So you knew about Benny and Conway before anybody. You took them up to A&R and stuff like that. And I also heard that you even brought them up to RZA.
So let's be clear and concise, because You know, you got a real platform. People going to see this. I'm not going to say I knew about Benny before anybody.
Okay.
Benny respectfully, I didn't know Conway like that. Benny respectfully was buzzing before anything. When I met him, he was buzzing. When I met him, he was on fire in Buffalo. What you do have correct is that when I heard Benny, first of all, I wanted him to sign to what I had going on at the time. I always said when I get a big budget, I was going to go grab him, because I felt like he was an A alike. I felt like he was like me, Doze, and Semi. So what I did was I brought his name up to the A&Rs. I played his music, you understand, just because I thought he was dope, you know? So I brought his name up. I brought Conway's name up. It's on camera. When I tell y'all, when I take this mask off and y'all see what's going on under this mask, you'll understand, oh, he wasn't fronting. He's not just saying that because they on. No, I've been trying to tell these people about them forever, but they didn't care because they wasn't from New York City. But I was always in Brooklyn talking about them, telling my niggas about them. You know what I'm saying? So, but I don't want to, they don't owe me nothing. I'm not taking no credit because West Side Gun put them where they are. West Side did that. I ain't do that. I'm just saying, to answer your question, that yes, it was a time where when nobody was on that radar, yes, I was advocating for them. I was trying to tell the people at Def Jam. I was trying to tell them people. I was telling everybody, like, yo, you got to hear them. You got to hear them. You got to hear them. And people just wasn't trying to hear it.
And it shows now, too, like, you know, your ear. It's like, you saw the vision now, too. But it's like what you said. West Side Gun put them in that position. So in certain positions, like even like with yourself, imagine if you would have stuck with Green Lantern and, you know, just fell back and kept releasing stuff. Maybe we never would have got you with Rock.
Right, right. Yeah, you wouldn't have got Great God. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man. Yeah. Yep.
Now, coming back into you now, too, what's this? I don't like to call it a project. I like to call it one of your albums because, you know, when I heard this actual project, I won't front. I heard it titled first because, you know, I'm a big Dipset fan. So when I seen Hell Well, I'm like, all right, let me check this out. I didn't expect to walk away to be like, all right, yo, Son made me a fan just off that one song, yo. So, coming into Snow Day EP, I love the title, by the way. Maybe it's because I'm Canadian. I don't do drugs, but I love the title. Yeah. I love the name, though.
No, I appreciate that. Thank you, bro.
So coming into Snow Day now, too, what inspired this? Like, was this before the events of Pimpfire, or was this, like, after Pimpfire, for the people who don't know? Because I know, but for the people who don't.
Yeah, for the people that don't know, so Snow Day was before Pimpfire. Okay. Snow Day is what got Snow Day didn't even get the attention of Rock. I was sending Rock, I met Rock Marcy. Ito from Rochester introduced me to Rock Marcy, first of all. Ito introduced me to Rock Marcy. I said I wanted a Rock Marcy beat. We were shooting a video. He called the God on the phone. God answered the phone. I saw some records. He was like, oh, whoa, you different. We got to talking and building from that day forth. We talked on the phone every few days. And I started sending them more music. But so Snow Day got the more, you know, that was before I signed with, I just signed my deal 4 days ago.
Oh,
Snow Day, I put like, huh?
I said, oh, okay. You kind of joined final 4 days ago. I thought this was like, because remember, we're fans, so.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, I just signed my deal. I signed my deal in the presence of Parks from the Joe Budden podcast, Knowledge, Rock, me, and DJ Premier was in the room when I signed my contract. So that was 4 days ago. So Snow Day, I put that out the last week of 2022. I was going to wait. I was trying to wait and make it a 2023 album because I wanted to have the best album. I wanted to be in the talks of the best album of 2023 until fucking Hell Rail called me, put the jumper cables on my back. Yo, God, you scared to be successful? Fuck is wrong with you, Taj? When you gonna put some music out by yourself? I'm tired of hearing you with these records with everybody else. The God called, he put the ill battery on my back. I'm still charged. You see my tone change when I got to talk about it? I'm still got the charge. I'm still got the Hell Rail charge. So he made me say, okay, let me send Merc Beats, which is the person who put the record in order. He curated that. Oh. He put those skits in there. Yes, Merc Beats. Shout out to Merc Beats. He curated. I sent him the records, and he got busy and sent it back to me. So those records was records that, you know, like I do 3 or 4 records every day. When I'm in the crib, I'm doing 3 or 4 records every day. So when I sent it to him, I probably had like 16 records to pick from. And I forgot to put some mean records on Snow Day. So that's why I'm going to release a deluxe, this is news for everybody. I said this first on your podcast. I'm going to put out a deluxe version called Still Snowing. And I got some mean records on there that I forgot to put on Snow Day.
Oh, so you might know. So everyone know. Just for clarification, you know, this gentleman may have album of 2023, deluxe.
Right. Yeah. Yep. Hell Rail pressured me. He said, "Yo, you scared to be successful?" He like, yo, why you doing all these features? I don't want to hear these other dudes. I just want to hear you. And I'm like, hey, man, I'm about to put this shit out next week, Dan. Fuck is you talking about, Rel? Fuck is you talking about, hell, Rel? But you know what, to be honest with you, he like the fourth person to ask me, am I scared to be successful? My mentor Mike Childs from Red Brick Records, he asked me that before. My mentor Kasim, may he rest in peace, from Lion Rider Records, he asked me that years ago. He popped up in my house and asked me, was I scared to be successful? Because he knew I had all these beautiful records in my hard drive and I just never was put the music out. So he was like, yo, I don't get it. Like, you got all these records. Like, what are you doing? But, you know, so I had to do the knowledge to that. Like, damn, am I scared? Like, am I scared of the critique? Am I, you know? And then even after they asked me that, and I came to the conclusion that, yeah, maybe I am a little scared of being successful. I did the knowledge to that. And I said, damn, to myself, like, okay. Still waited 4 years until I started getting back into the groove of things. And now you get to, you know, witness great God.
Now, did you have second guessing once the project was sent, like, to be mixed and mastered? Because I know you're a critique of yourself now, too.
Yeah. I knew Snow Day was fire. I knew it had some shit on it. I ain't gonna lie to you. I knew I was talking on Snow Day. I knew. Like, but that, I try to do that with every record, man. Like, I'm gonna put my heart and my soul. Like, they're not even really records, man. It's just an extension of my heart that I'm giving y'all. That's why I be so particular about what I say, how I say it, and how it's perceived, and the visual that you get for it. Like, right now, I should have probably had more videos out for Snow Day. But when you see what I'm gonna put out in April for the Snow Day, you're gonna understand why I took my time with the whole composition. But yeah, man, I knew it was tough.
Yeah, because I won't front that record with The Fiend, man. Like, that's a whole gem right there. Like, I like to say, like, you know, like, you know how they say, like, you know, you come across artists in America who just happen to be like a national gem. With that record alone right there, that shit right there, I was like, okay, yo, this son right here, you gotta pay attention to son. Because we were early on Stowe, we were early on, you know, Rome Streets. And now, like, when I hear Great Gods, I'm like, yo, it's only a matter of time before this guy's already blowing up. It's not even a matter of time. He's already blowing up, y'all.
Right. So let me ask you a question. Let me interview you for a second. what sets me apart from those guys that you name, your opinion?
Well, with a person like yourself, you can actually tell when somebody actually lived what they were saying as opposed to what they were doing before, as to, like, let me just say this for the views, because it comes apart with knowledge and wisdom. The more that you actually do, the more that you can speak about it. If you just jump into the game at 40, bricks in the stash, bricks in the case, but you actually talk about the ins and outs, like, you know, fiends actually have feelings and stuff like that. Because when you explain it to yourself how the fiend has feelings, it's like, they don't say that in those records. They don't say how, you can go to prison for 25 years, but they'll be saying, cop 4 days, now I'm out on bail. It's like, nah, man, it's not how it works, man. Or, like, even, like, with the fentanyl stuff like that, shit going around, like, it's little parts like that that get your attention. It's like, oh, okay, he knows what he's talking about.
Right, no doubt. Well, then my job is done, because that's my whole spiel, is that, you know, mine is just a little different. It's authentic, man. It's definitely different.
And then another thing too is, don't take this the wrong way. No homo. Pause.
Yeah.
The voice, man. It just, like, yo, it sounds like you were made for rapping, man. Because, like, so you know when you hear a certain artist and he's like, I don't know about his voice, man, like, kind of iffy. But when you hear your voice, you sound the exact same way that how you do off record, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah. No doubt.
Yep. It's like, it's a very distinctive voice. Like, you know how Jadakiss has a distinctive voice? You can tell a great hard voice from a different artist.
Got you. Okay. Yeah. Thanks for interviewing with me, man. I appreciate you. Back to you.
And that's the first from the desk, Lowe, y'all.
Whoa.
So, great girl. I won't take up much of your time, man. I appreciate you taking time out your busy day now, too.
Nah, I appreciate you, man.
So I was curious now, too. I already heard you say this in another interview now, too, but I'm super curious about this, too, because we respect this gentleman a lot. Now, you have an album coming up, Rock Mercy. But you all of a sudden, you got an album where you're going back and forth with Rock Mercy. Now, before I finish, is this coming before the album of Kai? Cause we've been waiting for Metal, Clint. We've been waiting for Metal.
Now listen. The God Brothers EP, that's what it's called, with me and Rock. We've been working on it. We've been flying verses back and forth to each other. He just sent me one so damn stupid. I'm ready to go to Cali and strangle this nigga, man. I'm ready to, yo, man. He sent me one so crazy, man. I'm ready to go over there and find him, and I want a fair one. But I don't know if it's gonna come out before that. I'm not sure. Rock is a businessman, and he's smart, and he's brilliant. So I'm sure he knows about momentum. So yeah. You know that the momentum that's going right now, perhaps it may come out. I don't know when it's gonna come out. I don't like to speak about things that I don't know 100%.
Yeah.
And I don't know 100% when it's gonna come out, but it's gonna be. It ain't gonna be the Chronic 3. We're not gonna make you wait longer than the OJ trial. So it'll be soon, man. It'll be soon. That I can promise you, because like we giving each other heat rocks. I just sent him So Lord Jamal, he gave me a beat last night so crazy. I said, man, this is, we got to drag our mink coats on this one, Rock. I sent it to Rock. He like, oh, nah, that's crazy. So, yeah, man. It ain't going to take long.
Now, with you now, too, being so humble now, too, I was curious about this now, too, before I let you go. With your upcoming documentary, are you going to show some of your humor in your documentary as opposed to just being all serious? Because, man, I got a friend, man. Some of your humor got me dying over here.
Nah. You're going to always get the humor for me, Yeah, the documentary is going to... Because it can't be all serious, because I'm not serious all the time. People think, but I'm not going to lie. The ladies that I've dated be like, yo, you too serious. But I don't be serious all the time. And you definitely going to get my personality... is what the people love too. So of course you're gonna get the ups, the downs in there. You're gonna get some serious moments in the doc. You're gonna get some moments where that's gonna be very emotional, because I done been through some emotional things in these streets. Like I've been through real situations. I'm going through real situations right now. My son is locked up. My only boy, he just turned 18. He fighting for his life right now, man. So there's things that's going on in my mind. It's been a terrible year. Just the this year, I done had four people around me, very close friends, die. My brother passed away this year. My son got locked up a couple weeks later. My uncle passed. It been a terrible, tragic start to something that was supposed to have been so beautiful for me. So those are the type of things and emotions that will be evoked in the documentary that I'm gonna put out.
Have you ever thought about challenging it into music when you're completely vulnerable, like how Royce did with Booker Ryan, but telling your story? Because you'd be surprised how many people will gravitate towards your story after just hearing that.
Right. Yeah. I thought about that. You know what? It's so hard to play that, because like I got a record called Sins of the Father, right? That I did with my son before he got locked up. But I bet you when I put it out, they're going to say, oh, it's like, is he trying to capitalize off of his son's situation? Because, that's how people think. That's just the nature of our people, and people in general. They just like to gravitate to the negative if they're not balanced correctly, But yeah, man, I'm going to definitely, they're going to get the records, man. Like this next EP. Lord Jamal told me last night too, and I said that God name probably 3 or 4 times, because that's a privilege to be. I went to his crib, we chopped it up, we kicked it. He told me I'm his favorite artist right now. Can't nobody mess with you. You the one of those artists that come around every 25 years. Those things mean a lot to me because I watched him growing up. That's the God, So he told me he was telling me last night like. The one critique that I heard about you so far is that all you talk about is drugs. And I'm like, damn, that's crazy, because that ain't even my strong suit. that ain't even what I get busiest on. So this next record, this next EP that you get is gonna be called God Talk. And they're gonna see the versatility. If they didn't notice it, if they didn't catch it in Snow Day, you on God Talk, you gonna see who I really am and what I really do.
Damn right, that was very inspiring, man, to hear what you're going through and you keep going, man. Man, I really wish you all the success in the world now, man. Not that I didn't before, but now, man, right. It's making me root for you like 1,000% now.
No, I appreciate you, my brother. It is hard to keep it together. I'm not going to lie. It's, you know, just knowing that my son is where he's at and that I want him next to me, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, I waited for this moment for a long time, man. For years, I waited for this moment. And for him to not be able to share it with me is depressing a little bit. But we're going to keep it pushing, man. And I'm going to go even harder for him, you know, and make it happen for him. And you know, and you know, inshallah, he in there and he get his mind right and he come home and he do the right thing like Spike Lee. But until then, you know, we going to make it work.
And then when the reunion happens, be better than the setback, as they would say.
That's right. That's right. Right. That's right.
Well, my great girl, man, I really appreciate you coming on this platform, man, giving us a taste about your personal life, man. You're anything you can do, I can do for you, my brother. All you got to do is hit me, man. I'll make it happen.
No, I appreciate you, man. And thank you for reaching out. I'm glad we got to make the interview happen. You know, next couple months, we'll do it again. We're gonna do that one from the yacht, and I'm gonna fly you over so we can do it in person.
Oh shit! Okay.
Remember what I said, and I'm not a talker, God. I'm not saying that.
Oh, you're a man of your word, trust.
Yeah, your word is bond. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm a man of my word. The next time we see each other, it's gonna be live somewhere, and you know what I'm saying. The glass is gonna clink. You're going to have something in yours, and I'm going to have water in mine, and we're going to talk about it all over again, and we'll talk about the difference between now and then. But I definitely appreciate you, bro. Thank you.
You and me, bro. Hey, be a coffee, man, because I don't drink either. That's why we can.
Oh, you don't drink either?
No, sir.
Oh, you a God brother then. You want us. All right. Say no more then. All right.
And like I said, yo, this is from Desk of Low, yo. We just had a monumental episode before, but we even got a better monumental episode featuring my guy, the one and only. Great God, you appreciate you, my brother. Anytime,
appreciate welcome. You, hey, log on to that live at 7. I got a special, something special on my live at 7 o'clock. Don't miss it.
Oh, shit. Okay, we up. All right, so,